they holding out. I don't know. I'm just messing with y'all. There you go. Let me find out, though. There you go. Man asked me yesterday at the family reunion, man, you going to go see Pokeberry? Big Rob, man, I'm going to be down there. No, we was in Amarillo. I said, nah, man, I don't think I'll be here to watch Pokeberry, man. Big Rob and them. I don't think I'll be in the building for that. Praise God. Ain't they promoting? No, I'm good, man. Praise God. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, praise God. Amen. Yeah, let me, I want to share a word with you this morning. Thank God for this opportunity once again. Amen. Y'all don't worry about it. Y'all don't need to go see Pokeberry. Y'all don't need to go see Pokeberry. He's no Smokeberry, but he's no Pokeberry. We came up out the cafes and all that. Juke joints, holes in the wall. We don't go to those places no more. Because we're new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So those places that we used to go, we don't go no more. Praise God. Amen. But I'm excited because even when we was out in the community, it wasn't the whole community. It was one person. I guess he just moved in the house and he don't even know that the house that he lived in was a homicide committed while we was in church one day. Do y'all remember that? Right across the street, we came out to hear the yellow tape where one of the young people had killed his own relatives, I believe. And I don't want to get the facts mixed up. But he stood over him and killed him and murdered him right in his house across the street over here. And I was on the bullhorn, was talking about God, and we would hit our signs out, and we was in the community. The little kids came out, people started stopping. And people was drove through and was wondering what was going on, and we was telling them what we was doing. And this one guy, I was on a bullhorn, and he shouted out something. And so I immediately started thinking about how the blind man, when he heard about the word, this is not what I'm going to talk about today, but I just want to share with you. But he heard about the word. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The man couldn't see, but he heard that the word was present. He heard the word was in the vicinity. And the word is nigh even in your mouth. It's closer than what it appears. You know, you can look through that rearview mirror and then obvious faith there appear closer than what. Man, I tell you what, he tried to muzzle me. He tried to make me be quiet and quit talking through that thing. Yeah. And call the police. Yeah. And the police came and I went up to the police. I'm like, hey, what's wrong? He's like, yeah, we got a call there. Y'all hear the other? I said, yeah, we got one there. I said, we was getting ready to close there. They didn't shut us down. We was getting ready to go. We come out here for an hour. And I said, man, all we're doing is spreading the gospel. Talking about the word of God. We had signs and scriptures on it and everything. I said, that's the only thing that we're doing. He said, y'all was talking through that. I said, well, it's probably that guy right over there because he came out and he said something. But I dare not let the devil try to stop me from opening up my mouth and straight. I say, this community needs the word of God. And we got people that come out, they look forward to this lady. Come out and get a chair and listen to what we have to say. Because I'm just talking about the scriptures. Talking about personal testimonies and how God brought me out. And sharing what the gospel can do and all that. And reciting scripture and stuff like that. And we holding signs up. That's all we're doing. Passing out tracts and praying for folk when they come by. So, he thought he was doing something, but what he meant for bad, God turned it around for good. And the police, they weren't hostile. They were real nice, super nice. And was receptive of prayer. And my brother, let us pray, but man, we understand that we don't want to get behind the police, but they stood in front of us and we connected. And my wife led us in prayer and we prayed and covered them. And they went on about their way. Praise God. So we know that what the enemy tries to do, the enemy wants to make us be quiet. The enemy wants us not to talk about God. He wants us to talk about other things. But what I want to talk to you this morning about is stay ready. I want to talk to you about stay ready, but I want to come and specifically have a text with this, which is Ephesians 6 and 12. We understand the armor of God. We got these beautiful paintings. Posters and stuff made, duplicates, so we could understand the armor. We did a study, extensive study, on the armor of God. But people of God, there is a battle going on like never before. The enemy is attacking our homes, marriages, communities, and churches. Yes. It's not nothing new about this, but it seems like the believer
is giving up too much room for the attacks to occur.
Yes, Lord.
Ah, all right.
What do I mean? Well, before, don't even turn to it, leave it on the text, Jay. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. That's a simple scripture. That's all it says in that particular scripture. It says, neither give place to the devil. Because I was talking about how he's attacking our homes, our marriages, our communities, our churches, our relationships, our fellowship, and all these different things that he comes to try to do. But if you read on down after this particular scripture in verse 27, I think it goes down to about maybe about 30, 31 verses. I'm not for sure. But it goes to what?
32
verses. If you look in those particular verses following verse 27, you'll recognize that there's some flesh and blood issues.
let me be clear about that. Because in the text today, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness
in high places. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your word, God. We just pray, God, that this word, God, penetrate the hearts of the believer, God, the listener, God, the receptive heart of your word, God. Oh, it never returns unto you, boy, but it accomplishes what it was sent out to do. So we thank you for this opportunity once again, God. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is what the text reads. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And as I was studying this, I like to look at different translations. And what got my attention was when I looked at the Amplified Bible. I said, let me look at the Amplified Bible and look what it says particularly in the Amplified Bible. And it says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending with only physical opponents, but against what was that? Despotism. Y'all know what despotism is? The exercise of absolute power, especially in a cruel and an oppressive way. So, against powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of the wickedness in heavenly spirit. Or supernatural spirit. So, as believers, we must understand what we are fighting against. You know, we can quote this scripture, it sounds beautiful, it sounds like, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But do you actually realize and understand? And that's against each other. Because we can have some differences with each other, and then we go to arguing with one another, and other things we don't appreciate one another. We don't fellowship with one another. Whatever the case may be. Arguments in the family. Whatever the case may be. You hear me? And so we have to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But what it is we quote this scripture. You know, it sounds good, but we must stay ready at all times against the thousands upon thousand-year-old devil. This devil been doing this for a very long time. He's been doing this for a very long time.
Yes.
But we have to understand what we're fighting against. We're not fighting against each other. But we're fighting against these four things that we're going to be talking about today. But can I use something? And as I was studying, I was thinking about in the military. Some people that's been in the military, they can attest to this and they can understand exactly what I'm talking about. But I wanted to use this as an analogy. And one of the things that they do in the military, particularly in the Army and all the other armed forces, is that they have what you call guard duties.
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. Really know what I'm talking about. We have guard duty. And what guard duty is, I will guard anything within the limits of my post and quit my post only when properly relieved. The guard is responsible for everything that occurs within limits of his post while he is on duty. He is also responsible for all equipment and properly located within the limits of his post. The exact limits of his post are defined by special orders. Somebody gonna get it in a minute. The special orders should also include every place a guard must go to perform duties.
Every place that he goes to perform his duties.
A guard investigates, watch this. A guard investigates immediately every unusual or suspicious occurrence on or near his post, provided he does not have to leave his post to do so. But if necessary, the guard will contact the commander of relief for instructions.
Oh, man, I wish somebody would get
this. Come on, come on.
We got to stay ready, Jay.
Yes.
Because what happens is we're going against the wrong thing, and we have to be on post for the things that we're going up against.
Yeah.
We spend too much time going against one another.
Yeah.
I'm going to be frank with you. We spend too much time going against the wrong thing.
Yes.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we have to stay ready and we have to stay on post. And when there's a problem, something that we can't handle, we go and connect with the commander of the instructions.
Oh, I wish I had somebody.
So, and not only the guard that's on post, it says, I will obey my special orders. I want somebody to read their Bible. I will obey my special orders and perform all my duties in a military manner. See, a person that's in the military is very disciplined. See, you can come in one way and you can leave out the other. See, because you go to the military, you come back, now you're shining your shoes. Then you come back, you got your bed made up. See, some people don't even make it. But you got the quarter bounce top, it's tight. You got clean shaven. That a military man or woman is a very disciplined person. Not saying that they cannot, they won't be undisciplined, but what I'm saying is this is part of the training. And as believers, we have to stay ready and we have to continue to go through the training. And even after we get saved, after we go through boot camp, I wish somebody listening to this. The training doesn't stop there, Jay. Because we're going to continually have guard duty. We're going to continually have to be on our post wherever we go. So I will obey my special orders and perform all my duties in a military manner, in a disciplined manner, which that's what discipleship is about. A guard, watch this. I'm going to walk over here with this. I wrote this down. Watch this. A guard will familiarize himself with the special orders for his post prior to being posted. The guard will obey, execute, and enforce all special orders pertaining to his post.
Yes.
We don't read the Bible for nothing. We read the Bible so that we can follow the special orders that has been given to us.
Yes,
so when we go on, I want somebody to get it. So when we get on post, we'll recognize what can come in and what can go out. Because when we get trained up and we get on guard post, now we understand that it's four things that we're fighting against. We're not wasting our time fighting against one another, but we're recognizing that we're getting trained up because we want to fight against these four things that's in this particular verse. So I just want to use that to kind of bring you up to what I'm kind of talking about. God has equipped us with the armor, but we must stay ready for battle at all times. We must be on guard duty against four strategies that the enemy uses. I tell you, one, principalities. And I had to break this down because a lot of times we're so caught up in our English language, which is, can I say this? English language is trash.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all look at that. What the pastor talking about? It's all broken all up. It's all split all up. It's all. But in order to get a real understanding You must go and break down, because the Bible is written in Greek,
Hebrew,
and Hebrew. Aramaic. Those are the main, in Arabic too, but the main ones is Greek and Hebrew. So sometimes the words that you are familiar with,
yes, sir.
It's not the same meaning,
yeah,
right. As it is in Greek and in Hebrew. So that's why we got to get the necessary Bible tools to be able to do. That's if you study the Bible. We talked about it last week about the Bereans, that they were more noble than everybody else because they studied the Bible for themselves, like we always say here. And whoever got up to preach, whether it was Tim Rogers or whoever else preaching nonsense, they'll say, hold them up, swallow them up. That's not biblical.
That's not right.
That's false doctrine. See, that's why we have to be trained. See, that's why when you first get saved, you just in boot camp. And you can't really follow the special orders that's going to be coming your way if you get committed. See, when you get committed in the service, once you get committed, after 2 weeks, after 6 months in, or you're in, you can't just quit.
No.
See, we don't get saved to quit.
Amen.
We don't get saved to backslide, but these things happen. But when we get saved, this is a lifetime commitment, right? So let's look at principalities. And the Greek word is really like archi or arche, which is used to describe things in a series. Principality, magistrate, rulers and leaders. The English word principality is defined as territory and jurisdiction,
wow.
Or the prince of the country that gives title to prince. Demons are assigned other various nations, states, and cities. So when you think about this, look at how things occur throughout the world. Some things are similar because the devil is a copycat. He always trying to copy God, what God did, but he'll twist it around for what he wanted to attack. But it says, but he uses it for evil instead of good. Demons are assigned territories and jurisdictions. So when you think about this being in order, you think about, like, say, for instance, commencement. Let's use that as an example. Commencement is the order of, the rank of, just like these principalities. So when you think about principalities in comparison to commencement, you have the valedictorian. I'm talking about rank. Y'all still with me? And then you have the salutatorian? Salutatorian. They go in order, they go in rank. Natasha is going to be valedictorian.
Oh, y'all should clap right there.
So y'all don't know how to celebrate. Y'all don't know how to. Hey, y'all. See? So in order, that's top rank. So when you think about, let's look at this thing. When you think about the devil, he wanted to be just like God. That's why I say he was copycatting. Then we copycat everything anyway. Somebody start something, then you'll start doing it. Because it's popular. And we have a copycat nature. Because we have a sin nature too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the devil, he wanted to be set on God's throne. God said, oh man, hold up. You got to get somewhere. So he kicked him out of heaven, and he took a third of the angels with him, right? So now these third of the angels, what do you think they don't win? They ain't winning nowhere. They still rolling around here too. So now, see, the devil can't be like God. He can't be omnipresent. He can't be all that present one time. So what happens is, he assigns these one third of the angels with him. He assigns them to territory and jurisdiction.
Yes.
I wish somebody would get this. Maybe I'm not explaining it right. So there's a rank in order of how the distribution of the angels that follow him, that they go all over the world in different nations and stuff, and sometimes things happen that are similar, and sometimes it might be happening like this in this part of the world. They got wars and all that, and then over here they got school shootings over here, then over here they got human trafficking over here, and then now they're saying under me, and then over here she, we got on our side. See, what might be happening in Chicago, it's not happening here in Love. See, because in Chicago, see, we just playing crib and lock and seize and all that.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't say that.
Yeah.
See, because you got certain demons that are assigned to Chicago.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to do is kill up all the men that's participating in this stuff.
Yeah.
happening in California. But you don't hear about California like you used to, because they're saying that's where it all started at.
Yeah.
But the same things that's happening in Chicago is happening in L.A.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the order of the principality, you think about the rank, like the valedictorian and the salutatorian and on down the line and your top tendency. Like me, I didn't get that. But they say, okay, we're going to give you, you graduated in the top 10% of your class. And I was exactly 10%. Because it wouldn't have gave me access to get in certain colleges, because they got somebody, I forget what it's called. What's that? It's something that they pass that gives minorities the ability to get in college. Affirmative action.
Okay.
By me graduating in the top 10%, it was 160 of us that graduated when I graduated in 1986. I was ranked number 40. That's exactly 10%.
Yeah.
See? So I was able to get certain benefits to be able to be entered into college because I graduated in the 10%. So you have the valedictorian, you have the salutatorian, and you go by rank and so forth, just like the devils. I don't know if they got captains. I don't know. But I know principalities is going by rank and them sending out these different demons to different territories and jurisdictions. Oh, man. Powers. The Greek word for powers is exousia. You got to get with it. I took up Greek in college. Boy, the hard. If you're going to college, don't take up Greek. And the only way that I passed Greek, because there's two sections to it, and I'm making a long story short, I got caught up. I took up Spanish. I was taking up these classes, going to school full time, work, doing all this stuff. And I decided to drop Spanish because I wasn't keeping up with my Kia online. They call it Kia. And so I'm supposed to keep up with my Kia, which is a daily activity that you have to do throughout the semester. You know, you get a syllabus and it tells you everything you're going to have to do throughout the semester. So I wasn't following my syllabus with my smart self and got caught up to where I said, man, hold up, man, you're going to fail this class. You better get up out of here. So I dropped the class right at the deadline so it didn't count against you, right? Even though I lost money on that, okay? So now, I come back and say, I'm trying to be slick. I take a Greek and thinking that's gonna satisfy my foreign language. But come to find out, you have to take two sessions. And I barely get through one session. And so when I took the one session, I said, man, you had to write this stuff, then you had to pronounce it and all that, because I took it because I knew I was a studier of the Bible. And I wanted to understand some of the words that was in the Bible, not some of them, but all of them, when I can get to understand the revelation of what I was reading. So I look up. I just don't pass my words. I look them up. And so I said, man, this is going to be interesting. I start writing in Greek. You have to write a short paragraph and all that. I knew I was just writing stuff. And the man, he said, man, I'll tell you what. All you need to do is, he said, man, you better show up to class every day. I said, you sure right. I didn't miss no days. And I passed with a C. He was generous.
He was.
And then I seen him walking on campus one day, a young guy, he knew that Greek. Well, he said, you gonna take my next session? I said, yeah, I'm thinking about it. He said, yeah, come on, y'all, you'll get through it. Well, and I already knew I wasn't gonna take it, but I told him, I should have been honest with him from the beginning, because I already knew I wasn't gonna take it, and I told him I'm thinking about it. I wasn't even thinking about it, I knew I wasn't gonna take it. And I got to my senior year and I said, man, I'm about to go back to Spanish again, because Spanish, you just take one semester and it counts for 5 hours, which satisfies my foreign language. And I told her, Spanish teacher, I said, I need to pass. She said, well, if you want to pass this Spanish, she said, I know you ain't going to be able to speak it like that. You can't, it ain't going to happen like that. And write it like that. We're going to have oral exams and all this kind of stuff. She said, but if you come to class every day, turn in all your assignments, and make sure you do Kia. Okay?
I did all that and made a C in that Spanish, and that's where I was able to graduate because I needed that to be able to pass and to get my bachelor's degree, and that's what I did. But I tell you what, when you think about these Greek words, and all these words are from the Greek, when you think about powers, it's exousia in the sense of ability, privilege, that is subjective, this is subjective, force, capacity, competency, freedom, or objectively, a mastery, magistrate, superhuman, token of control, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. Demons who are set over territories are given authority to carry out orders given by Satan. See, once they are assigned, I told you, he wants to copy everything God does. And even in this, in the military analogy that I gave you, the ones that's on guard duty, they have specific things and powers that they can only do. And if they try to do anything outside, then they have to go and get permission. They just can't do whatever they want to do because they have specific general orders, special orders that they must carry out while they're on post. See, that's why we got to stay ready. And even the enemy, here it is, he assigns people to Chicago, to Africa, to all these different places, but he gives them the power to carry out the things that he sent them to do. So we talk about principalities, which is jurisdictional, territorial. It comes in rank. He sends them out with powers. He equips them to do the work that he's going to do through them, and he sends them to these different territories. Rulers of darkness of this world. Krate, eo, to use strength, that is seize or retain, literally or figuratively, hold by, hold fast, keep, lay hand on, hold on, obtain, retain, take by. This emphasizes the enemy's intention to control. See, we got to understand what we're fighting up against. Now, when you understand the things that occur in your life, you understand, okay, this enemy has been sent to my territory. He's been sent to my territory, and he's been given power. Power of what? Everything that we go through, everything starts in where? The mind. It's all a mental thing. It all derives in the mind. That's just like temptation. That's just like a person relapsing on drugs. They just don't go and they start what? They start thinking about it. They start entertaining. Just even the things that we've been delivering about, we start thinking about it. We start thinking about what we used to hang out with. We start thinking about that boyfriend that we had, that we had some real good times with that girlfriend. We start thinking about it. And next thing you know, this enemy has been assigned to your territory. And so now that you've been thinking about it, y'all listen to this. Yeah. Now that you've been thinking about it, he has given them powers to be in your territory. And now he's trying to seize control over your thoughts. And now he sends that same one that you was thinking about. Yeah. And that's how you know, you just automatically bump into him at the grocery store.
Yeah. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing to me.
How did you, it's like, man, this is crazy. I was just thinking about such and such, and I went to U90, and I went down aisle 7, and there he was going over there to get some Cracker Jacks. But the principality, he hasn't been signed to your territory. Y'all ain't saying that. He done signed you to the territory, and the enemy has given him, Satan himself, has given that specific demon powers to be able to take control over your mind.
All right.
And so there you go. I ain't seen you in a long time. Yeah, I know. You know, I'm sorry about how you think. I know you probably with somebody now, huh?
Yeah.
get together, so I want to get something to eat or something.
Yeah.
Go to the movie. They got that new movie out. You think I can get your number? I don't know. Come on now. Let's see if we can do it different. No, I done changed. Next thing you know, there you go. Next thing you know, you're consumed by this.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, now that he got you, see, watch this. Now that he in your territory, he sent some more demons to get this one demon some help. Oh, y'all ain't saying that.
After your house has been swept and garnished, see, what he does is he sees all you need
is a little taste.
And what he does is he sends some more demons to make it seven times.
See, he turns up the heat. That's what the devil does. I'm in your territory. I already got the power to do this. Now I'm getting ready to take a total control of your mind. You're going to put the Bible up. You ain't going to read your Bible no more. You're going to start flipping through the channel. You used to listen to the Bible and the word of the day. And you used to do your devotion. Now all you can think about is him. Because you don't let him get in your mind. And now he got these other demons that help him. And he's sending stuff from all different directions when all you had to do was stay ready. Somebody say, stay ready.
Stay ready.
Next thing you know, you don't study no more.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
It's important. So, number four. It don't take long to get this. My grandma used to say to me, you know what? It don't take long for God to do what he got to do, especially if you got a word. I don't know why we have to stay in church all day long. He said, just go on and get that word and put it out there. I said, you sure right, Mom. I took that to heart. Because it don't take me long. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Nego means to wheeze. That is caused by implication to throttle or strangle, drown, choke, take by the throat. I am convinced that we just quote these scriptures and we don't even have the knowledge of what we're fighting up against. That's why we're getting beat up. And I was so excited about this. And when I was researching, I said, God, I'm guilty of this because I've read this scripture and I didn't dig deeper into to find out the true meaning of what these principalities, these powers, this darkness, and this spiritual weakness in high places. See, God wants to take us higher. He said, you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, in due season he shall exalt thee. Yeah. See, God is trying to get us to a pinnacle. Amen. See, God is trying to take us to a high place.
Yeah.
And before you can even get to that high place, what the devil comes in with this spiritual weakness, because he already has power himself. He used to, these devils and demons that used to be in heaven. These things, these forces are strong. They are powerful. And so as you get stronger in God and he takes you higher, what the devil wants to do is he wants to take the wind out of you. He wants to choke you. He wants to drown you in your in this whatever you're going through. And he'll have you wheeze.
Yeah.
Out of breath. Because he got his hand around your throat.
Yeah.
Because he don't want you to reach the pinnacle of going higher and higher. And you'll never, because it's an ongoing thing. Paul even said himself, he said, I haven't even apprehended. It's a continuous thing. So, when you think about this, it says the key word is wickedness, which suggests that which is destructive and injurious in character. What the devil get you around your throat and choke that word out of you?
Yes, sir.
And have you act in some type of way?
Yeah, injurious and dangerous.
Injurious and dangerous. And you wonder what happened. People go, if nothing else, we have to understand what we're fighting against.
Yes, sir.
We fight against each other too much.
Right.
When
with the real enemy is these four things that we should be fighting against. And we should stay on our post with our armor on. You should leave the house without not one piece of it on. Because when you do, you leave room for the enemy to come in. We talked about it in Ephesians 4:27. Do not give him room to come in. And what we do, we get caught up. They are assigned to your territory and your jurisdiction. And we have to understand and not be ignorant to the enemy's devices. Oh, man. It's a shame. But there are many ways that Satan war against us, but his primary tactic is to begin with the mind. Jay, turn to 2 Corinthians 10:5. Joyce Myers wrote a book. I recommend that you read it. Battle of the Mind, Phil. Battlefield of the Mind. Y'all get that book and read it. Good stuff. That's why you have to know your Bible, because you can get some books that ain't right.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they got Christian. I had a scripture up there. In Matthew 7:20 said that you'll know them by their fruit. Not because they say hallelujah.
Right.
Not because they come to church.
Right.
That's not true. Not because they came and participated in some stuff that we might do.
Right.
Not because of that.
Right.
It's their fruit. Look at the tree. Look at the tree and you'll know if they're Christians or not. It's easy. All that because you got a wristband on, you got a mug, you got a pen with Jesus Sage and all that. That's good. That's good information. We want you to spread that. We want you to have that testimony. But how are you living?
Right.
How are you treating people? How do you love?
Casting down, because the devil wants to get in your mind. He wants you to make you think that the word don't work, our prayer don't work. I know it don't work because you're not living right.
It does.
That's a true saying. Prayer does not work for people that don't live right. Prayer, answered prayers are for those that fall after the commandments.
Yes.
And we always read, look it up, Pastor, for me right quick, because we have to constantly remind, this is what reading the word and the word coming forth, that's what it's all about. To give us a reminder of what God has said. We study the Bible, whether you be in Bible study, whether you be in home study, whether you be listening to tapes, whatever you be doing, John 8:31. And so, people, we have to understand him in that prayer something work. No, it don't work because you live in sin. That's why it doesn't work. He's not going to answer your prayer. Somebody get Proverbs 29:18. We got to understand this. And so the enemy gets in our mind and makes us think so. Now that he in your mind is telling you that prayer don't work, when all you had to do was go to boot camp, and then once you came out of boot camp, keep on going and going and humble yourselves and submit to God and quit listening to all kind of people saying all kind of stuff and get that out of your mind and quit don't let people just start dumping stuff in your mind. And now your mind all messed up and you can't even hear from God. 8:31, Pastor. John 9:31.
Yes.
Okay. What does it say?
Now we know that God hears not sinners.
Now we know that God hears not sinners. Not a person that just committed a sin, but sinners is an ongoing thing. They're always doing it. That's what they do. They're sinners. It don't even bother them. They have been given over to a reprobate mind, some of them. They do not think that they're doing nothing wrong. But yet and still, they come and say they read the Bible, they understand the Bible, they got understanding. It says, now they're getting understanding. Okay, now since you understand it, why come you're not living by it?
Right.
Now since you're not living by it, you got that S on there, that's an ongoing thing. What did it say, Pastor?
For we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Of course it don't work. You don't let the devil get in your mind, and now you're not even a worshiper, you're just somebody just showing up, just going to church. You're not a worshiper, and now you're not a worshiper, and you don't even do his will, then you're going to have the audacity to ask God for something. He doesn't hear that. Somebody get Proverbs 29:18.
Yeah.
What did it say?
Where there is no vision,
no, that's not it. That's not it.
even your prayers is an abomination. What is that? Is it 29:18?
No.
26:18. 28. Just somebody Google it. It'll pop up. Even your prayers is an abomination. I know it's in Proverbs 20 something. But we have to understand that the enemy wants to get into our mind, and now people thinking, this stuff don't work. You know, a guy told me one time, I'm in being saved stuff at old rate.
Oh, wow.
I said, what?
Okay, 28.
28:9, what did it say?
He that turned away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer should be an abomination.
Okay, y'all write it down. 28 what?
Nine.
Proverbs 28:9. He that turns away his ear from the word. You just come to church. Oh, man, I ain't trying to hear that what the pastor's talking about, man. I'll open my bed. I want to keep on doing what I want to be a sinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when you get caught up,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure some of those guys that got caught up in that drug bust and all that, that's one of them was my friend. We played baseball together since we was 8, 9, and 10 years old. One of them was in that group. He's 50 years old just like me. What's another?
Another we'd like to quote is Isaiah 54:17.
Yes.
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. But this is the key. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
See?
I must be a servant.
You got to follow up. We just get one shit and weapon from him. Man, how a weapon gonna form me in your territory?
Yeah.
We just talk about these four things that you fight about. The devil is in your territory. Now you talking about no getting trying to get your property, but you hear all up in your head, you doing all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not your heritage, because the heritage is for the people of God.
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes.
The heritage is for the people. We get these broken up scriptures, and you just get one up and read the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's another thing. When you read the Bible, start at the beginning of the chapter and go down. Don't just be getting some poppers. See, that's what's wrong. We get a popular scripture and we start quoting and trying to make people think, girl, let me tell you, let me give you something, let me break you out something. No, you need to break out that stuff that you're doing and get lined up with the things of God and allow God to do some things in you and get back in boot camp after you done did 10 push-ups, then you want to quit. See, we quit too easy. Get 10 push-ups, I'm tired.
Proverbs
15 and 8, read it.
The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord.
Wow.
But the prayer of the upright is his delight.
See? Man, God will listen to you all day long. Anything that you want from him, according to his will. See, that's the issue. You got to get in his will, find out what his will is. His will is his word.
Yes.
Now I'm praying his word, and now I can go to him, whatever pertains to my situation, because everything that pertains to life and godliness is in the word.
Yes.
So now when I go before God, I know myself is together, and I can go and drop down on my knees, and I can ask God for what I need.
Uh-huh.
And he will do. He can't go against his word.
No.
2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imagination. When the thought come in your mind, grab that thing when he's, you know what he say, you know what he say. I'm pulling that thing down right now. He already done sent these demons in your territory. They not playing with you, they got rank.
Right, yes, sir.
They in your territory.
Yeah.
And they got powers.
Yes, sir.
And their main mission is to take complete control over your mind and have you doing things and having your members yielding to the things that's not of God. And it says, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. I say, what the Bible say? See, with Tim Riley, I would have been in the honor, man, what the Bible say?
Yeah.
If you call yourself the man of the Bible, and you start talking about what there is no hell, when hell was created, it wasn't created for us, it was created for the enemy and those he got in your territory. But he said what he's doing is persuading folk to go. He don't want to send you there, you're going to send yourself.
Right.
That's your choice. If you want to go to hell, keep on yielding yourself to the members. If you believe what Tim Rogers is saying, that it's just a fairy tale like Santa Claus and Peter Pan and them and all that kind of stuff, then that's what it is.
Keep on.
But it says, against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, we're not eager to, I know you're in my territory, but you can't do nothing unless I allow you to do it.
Yes.
Can I use a scripture? Jay, go to Luke 4. Watch this. See, Jesus Christ, he just had came, I believe, from getting baptized. And what happened was he went into the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
See, even in your wilderness experience, you got to still be on your post.
Uh-huh.
Somebody should have wrote that down. Even in your wilderness experience, you still got to be on your post. You have to stay ready. And even in Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read it. Let's see what the devil was trying to do. See, Jesus, he already had his specific orders. He already know what his special orders were. He already know what his purpose was. He knew that he came down here to reconcile us back to the Father. And in the meantime, what the enemy was trying to do was trying to get in his mind. Okay, y'all don't believe? Watch this. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan.
Being full of what?
Of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, what God will do is God will lead you. See,
yes.
I get in this place. Have you ever thought about that God put you where you need to be at right now?
Yeah.
Because he's trying to work in these things, and you're in the wilderness, and you up there talking about what the devil did. Yeah. And have you ever considered that God is the one that sent you in the wilderness to experience some things that you need to build you up, to strengthen you, to get you so you can listen to him, because all you can do is depend on him? And so now he sent him into the wilderness after he had equipped him and gave him some special orders. And verse 2 says, being 40 days, tempted of the devil. And in those days he didn't eat nothing. He was hungry. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungry. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that is made of bread. Jesus already had his special orders. Even in the wilderness, he was still on post. What's the next word? And Jesus answered him, saying it was written. See, I already got some orders that was written to me. That man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The next verse. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain. Y'all remember principalities in high places? Took him up in a high mountain and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. See, that's what's wrong.
Yeah.
People want to be rich quick and do all these other things and scheme and scam and all that kind of stuff, when all you got to do is live right, get you a job, let God promote you, be humble, learn how to treat folk. You're going to get it. It's going to come to you.
Yeah.
That don't mean you're going to be rich. But God is a provider.
Yes, ma'am.
And once he provides, you have to understand how to be able to manage what he provides for you.
Yeah.
So we have to learn how to be good stewards of what we have.
Yep.
Now, if I'm just making $2,500, why am I living a $3,500 lifestyle? That doesn't make sense. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, and all shall be mine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee, see, he had special orders. He was on his post, even in the wilderness. And he had got some specific orders to live by, to go by. And he says, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He just wouldn't give up. The devil ain't gonna give up. And it says he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And said unto me, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from him. Now that I don't listen to you, now I'm going to cause some issues to have. I got all this power. I don't send these people in your jurisdiction, in your territory. Now I'm going to turn it up. Now I want to make you do something to yourself.
Yeah.
See, that's where the devil works.
Yeah.
He makes you think ain't nobody with you, and everybody against you, and all that kind of stuff. You just be thinking all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Next thing you know, I just kill myself. Nope. Negative. We know that some people have mental health. We understand that. But for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. See, he know the word. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, look at him, he's going right back to his orders, his special orders again. And Jesus answered him, said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Look what the devil do. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season.
That don't mean he ain't come, that don't mean that he's gone for good. But we have to stay ready and be on our post to be equipped in the word of God, keep our armor on, because he is going to come back. Right? So when you think about this, the true knowledge of God is the knowledge that he is God and that his word is true. If Satan can't get the Christian to look at people and self instead of God and his word, they would then be receptive to his thoughts of fear, worry, self-pity, doubt, and anger. Just like I said, Jesus was on his post even in the wilderness. He stood by the orders that he had. He didn't defer from them. He realized what the word said. He said, what I'm going to do, even in my wilderness experience, I'm going to keep on speaking this word. I'm going to stay ready because I understand what I'm fighting up against. I know that he's coming after me. He has his principalities. He has his powers. He has this darkness. And then he has what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. And we understand how these things work and operate. So when you think about it, let's look at another. I was reminded of this. Acts 26 and 8, as I was saying. Acts 26 and 8. Why should it be? Hold up. That's not it. Go to the next verse there. I must have wrote it down wrong. Which one?
I said, this is 28.
26 and 8. Let me look. What it says is, I wrote the scripture down though. It says to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And what God wants to do is to set us aside, to sanctify us, to separate us apart, to equip us, and to open up our eyes to understand what we're fighting up against. Man, how did I write that wrong scripture there?
Acts 26, 18.
18. Put that up there, Jay. I forgot to put my one down. There it is. That's it. To open their eyes. See, once we study this word of God and start living by it and abiding in it, our eyes are then open. And now that our eyes are open, we understand what we're fighting up against. Four things that we fight against, that the enemy uses against us. And now that we understand that he has principalities, he has been assigned, he signs his, the little imps that he has, the demons, whatever you want to call them, he signs them specifically to territories and jurisdictions. What you might be going through, somebody else might not be going through. See, because you got your own territory, right? And so what the devil wants to do, he wants to assign them to your territory, and then he wants to give them the power to do what he was assigned for them to assign for you. Destroy you, kill you, steal from you. He wants to do all of these things. And so now, all of these things, and now he wants to take complete control through the mindset that he wants to get in your mind and have you thinking stuff that ain't even true. He wants you to have you thinking stuff and doing stuff. He wants you to give up, wants you to throw in the towel, wants you to think people against you. All this nonsense when you need to stay focused on God. Even in your wilderness, you got to stay on your post. Even in your wilderness, you got to keep your arm on. The devil had you thinking crazy, had you thinking all kinds of stuff. But you got to learn how to bring down those imaginations. Right? And then that last thing that he wants to do, spiritual wickedness in high places. Trying to choke you, trying to cause you to wheeze, trying to throttle you, trying to strangle you, trying to take you by the throat. Because it's meant for destruction and ignorance of character. The enemy get in your mind and have you start talking crazy. You see how he did Carter Pearson, don't you? Look at some of these prominent men that's been speaking the word of God. Now they're talking nonsense. Right? How did that happen? Right there. I hope this word bless y'all today. To understand what it is that we're fighting against. We have to understand that. And when we learn how to fight against what the enemy is bringing to our territory, we'll be better equipped in how to abide in God, even through the things that we go through. We talked about afflictions. We talked about all these different things that the enemy tries to come to discourage us. But we still have to keep the faith and believe God. And as we continue to abide in Him, He will abide in us. And when you abide in Him and we abide, when we abide in Him and He abide in us, then we'll bring forth the fruit. It'll be evident. It'll be evident of us living for God. Because we know a tree, right? By the fruit that it bears. Will there be one to come forth for prayer or anything specific that you may need?